Well, hello and welcome again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Washing Word. This is a ministry that is an outpouring of the Washing Word hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate this business. And we do it so that we can get these verse-by-verse Bible teachings into your ears. And there are several ways to do that, and there's a lot of information about the business and about the ministry that we're not going to take time to share with, because we want to get into the verse-by-verse Bible teachings. So we encourage you to go to the washandword.com website to find out information about this business or this ministry. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. That being said, let's get back into our teachings, going as we do, verse by verse. In our last message, we started the book of Ecclesiastes. We haven't actually got into it yet. We spent a last message building up to it, giving a sort of a background of what is about to take place within this book. And we encourage you to go back to the Ecclesiastes intro sermon, and that'll give you a good insight to where this book stands. And, you know, we talked a lot about Solomon's quest for the meaning of life and all that that entailed. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time rehashing that, but we're gonna continue to move on towards getting into the first verses of chapter one. But I do want to mention a couple of things. We ended in our last message talking about spiritual revelation, and that is that, you know, mankind is capable of doing great and mighty things. I mean, you think of the explorations we've accomplished and the things that we have built and just the technology. And mankind is capable of amazing things, but without the revelation of God, without the spiritual revelation infused with man's wisdom and ability, well, they're dead works. They're basically just they're foolish in the eyes of God, and we see that throughout Scripture. The deductions that Solomon makes through this book are based and they're made upon a physical, humanistic, and material equation and answer. And so when he gets to the end of his searching, he finds that because of a lack of the spiritual revelation that is needed, he finds empty answers despite the amount of time, work, energy, effort, and money he puts in to discovering these answers. And the book of Ecclesiastes, I don't know if you knew this or not, but it was not part of the original canon. It wasn't going to be a part of the original Bible. Not just this book, but Proverbs was sought to be too illogical and wasn't going to be put in there. The Song of Solomon was thought to be too erotic and was going to be left out. Even Ezekiel, the prophet, was too mystical and was going to be left out as well. Another book was Esther, because there was no mention of God. And of course, Ecclesiastes, which was viewed as too pessimistic. All of these books would have been left out of the Bible if man, through human logic and wisdom, were to put this book together. But you see, that's not how God wanted it, is it? No, through special revelation, God added these books into the Bible. Man would have removed them, but God, through revelation, over and above human wisdom and understanding, said, no, these books must be in my word. And we see the conclusions in this book. Well, they don't eliminate Christ, even though they are completely a secular viewpoint of life and the meaning of life and hope and all those things. They don't, you would think that would eliminate Christ, but they actually validate the Lord's teachings. Now, we must view this book and basically all of the Bible through the lens of Jesus. Every part of the Bible is Jesus. He is the Word, and the Word became flesh. We talked about that in our teachings when we did the Gospel of John. And right now, we're just looking at Jesus through a different lens as we approach Ecclesiastes, sort of a different angle. It's still about Jesus. It still points and validates the teachings of Christ, but we're just going to look at them from a different angle and through a different lens as we look at them through the eyes of Solomon. Again, we mentioned that Solomon is widely believed as the author. This book was written about 916 BC. Solomon was also responsible for writing the Proverbs, at least most of them. He did this as a young man. He also wrote the Song of Solomon as a middle-aged man. And then in his older age, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. A time in his life, you know, when his heart had turned away after his wives and his cultures and his beliefs. And as an old man, he jots down what he has learned. And friends, as we go into this, we're going to see that he makes no bones about his findings. With that said, let's look at verses 1 and 2 in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. And you got to love the way it starts off. Verse 1, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Well, let's stop right there. You know, I wonder why they didn't want to put this into the original Bible, thinking it was too pessimistic. What an intro. I remember when I preached this book in the church that I led down in Florida, I think when I got to the end of chapter or verse 2, I think I said that the ushers will be now going around handing out razor blades and nooses for anyone who suddenly feels hopeless and suicidal. I mean, you start off a book, meaningless, meaningless, says a teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. Well, friend, even though this is the beginning of his book, these first few verses, these first few sentences are actually the final conclusion of a man who has dove headfirst into all of the best of the world has to offer. And the result? Utter depression. Utter hopelessness. Man, how do you come? Could you imagine putting forth such an effort to get to the end of that road and that is the final conclusion you've come to? That is utterly depressing. My wife does this all the time. It drives me crazy. But have you ever gone to the last page of a book that you're reading just to see how it ends before you even get through the book? I don't know how she does it or why. Or maybe you fast-forwarded through a show or a movie to see how it ends. Well, not in Ecclesiastes. There's no need to do that in this book. You get the ending at the beginning. And the ending comes in a two-verse conclusion. Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And you want to know something funny? The very last section of this book, chapter 12, verse 8, you know what it says? It says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Now, those are bookends to everything that we're going to read in Ecclesiastes. He starts off that way, and he ends that way. And everything in between explains how he got to that conclusion. But listen, here's the most important part. And here's why I mentioned the last two messages, the importance of special revelation, the importance of spiritual knowledge and wisdom and revelation from the Spirit himself. Because if Solomon ended his book the way he began it in chapter 12, verse 8, if he ended it there, there would have been nothing. There had been no hope, but God rescues him with special revelation. The book goes on for, what is it, 6 more verses. And during the last 6 verses of this book, God rescues Solomon with special revelation to keep him from remaining in his pessimism. Let's read on verse 3. Let's see why he comes up with this conclusion. What does man gain from all of his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Let's stop right there, because now we got the conclusion in verses 1 and 2, but now we're going to start looking into how he got to these conclusions. And we see here the first example that this book is definitely written by a man, deduced by a man, and concluded by a man, but it is all inspired of God. And we see the humanistic connotations in these two verses here. Again, these conclusions were deduced by a man, concluded by a man, written by a man, but God inspires them all. Remember, Ecclesiastes teaches us not by example, but by opposites. In fact, so much of what I've learned and how I try to teach comes from not what I learn from others or experiences, but by watching what others have done and doing the opposite. You know, I've heard it said that a wise man learns from his mistakes, but an even wiser man learns from somebody else's. And that's what that's what God is trying to teach us here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And listen, many of the things that Solomon says and that he concludes in this book are simply, and this is important, they're unbiblical, they're untrue, and they are deduced by means of earthly testimony alone. And this is important to remember, because if you read this book as God's revelation, in a sense that God is coming to these conclusions, it'll throw off your understanding of the character and nature of God. We have to see, again, we're looking at Jesus through a different lens in this book. We're looking at it in an opposite way. Case in point, he says in the end of verse 4, but the earth remains forever. He says, man labors and toils and generations come and generations, but the earth remains forever. Now that is a conclusion of a man with a human viewpoint. Because of course the earth will not remain forever. And how do we know that? Again, it goes back to special revelation, or as I said in the last message, the part of the Bible you're not reading right now. That's what special revelation is. And there was no special revelation yet for him here. But again, he deduces this by the knowledge of what he sees and has done. Again, special revelation are the other parts of the Bible that you're not reading. And we know from Revelation, the book of Revelation, that the earth will not remain forever. He goes on. He says, the sun rises, the sun sets, and it hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. We'll stop there and just touch on this for a minute. We see his entire focus so far is what? It's upon the earth. He's using wind and sea and rivers and things of that nature. He's looking at the unending chore of its cycles. That is the sun coming up, the sun coming down, the wind blowing from, the wind blowing to, the rivers coming down and flowing. You see what I think Solomon, he's looking for some type of closure. He's looking for the oceans to fill up. He says, but the rivers flow in the ocean, but they never fill up. He's looking for a filling of the ocean. He's looking for a ceasing of the sunsets. He's looking for something to have a logical ending answer. But the cycles of nature and the cycles of life, well, they're just that. They're cycles. They don't stop. He's looking for something to stop and usher in a fulfillment. The logical mind wants an ending to the questions. If you ever screw on a plastic lid onto something, there's that point where you screw it like on a milk carton, a gallon of milk, and you screw a little bit too tight because you want to make sure it's leak-proof, but then it goes a little bit too far, and then it pops, and you're basically starting all over again, and you try to find that happy medium where it's tight, but it hasn't popped to where you're starting to turn it again. And that's what Solomon is looking for here. He's looking for a perfect, tight seal, and he's not going to find it because no such place exists in nature. But we're going to stop there because it's a good ending, and also because I'm running out of time. But this is perfect to show the foundation of where he's coming from. Nature, the earth, man, logic, and this is from where he develops his final conclusion. So we'll get back into chapter 1 when you join us again tomorrow. You can go to the washandword.com website and listen to these messages or download them for free. You can also find out about the business and about the ministry, and just we encourage you to come by the Wash and Word. Let us know you've been listening to these messages and give us some encouragement. Let us know that you appreciate the verse-by-verse Bible teachings. We want nothing from you. We ask for nothing except for your change into the conformity of Christ. Have a blessed day.